Hey guys, once again, back we are. Episode number 67. We're getting there, guys. I'm Jen.
I'm Carrie.
And tonight we are doing Black Mass. And y'all will have to pardon me. My voice is horrible. I have been dealing with a lot of dust, a lot of cleaning, a lot of organizing, a lot of chaos this past week. So I do apologize for the way I sound. Hopefully you'll be able to hear me anyway. So what's been going on with you, Carrie?
Not a lot. Just lots of work. How about yourself?
About the same. Actually found another actual paying job.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's fun. Every now and then you got to take work that pays.
Yeah.
But yeah, on the Johnny Depp, Tom Hiddleston front. No news is good news, I suppose.
That's right.
So hopefully it's a lot of good news because we're getting a lot of no news.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, absolutely nothing, guys. Nothing on the baby, nothing on Johnny's latest love life, nothing. Nothing, nothing, and more nothing, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
you know. Couple of guys that are incredibly private.
Well, yeah, Hiddleston is, Depp not so much, but I have a feeling he's probably laying low a bit because of the latest. Now, the one thing I did notice is that it looks like there is a possibility, and I'm not saying anything definitively because this is a rumor, and everybody knows how rumors are, but there is a rumor that he is going to be invited back to the Pirates of the Caribbean series.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just posted yesterday. So, you know, if there's any truth to it, we'll see. I think it would be fantastic. He is Captain Jack Sparrow. I don't see anyone else taking that place or fulfilling that role. So, you know, that would have to create a whole different character to continue the Pirates series. Should they decide to do so without Johnny Depp. So, as far as the Hiddleston front is concerned, yeah, nothing. We've got the Loki series coming out soon.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's going to be absolutely fantastic. It's the first Marvel, not movie, but first Marvel show series to get a season two. So that is a big deal. And of course, Hiddleston is the one and only Loki. I can't imagine them doing any of the Loki anything without using Hiddleston as the main character.
Right.
But, and of course, the last 2 weeks, we did the 80s retrospective. I figure eventually we'll move on to doing 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I figure we'll do 80s music, maybe 70s music as well.
Yeah.
But we've got Johnny Depp's birthday coming up. Happy birthday to him on June 9th. And for him, I think we're going to do the same thing we did for Hiddleston this year. I think we're going to do a look at 1963, what was popular, what was not, then versus now type of thing. But as always, it's going to be a two-hour spectacular. We will probably have both of my co-hosts at one point or another on the show. So, sound good so far?
Yeah, it does sound good.
Excellent. But, you know, we are right now, we really are on kind of borrowed time. Lots and lots and lots of chaos going on over here. So we need to go ahead and get into this. And see what we got. So, Carrie, what do you remember about the movie Black Mass? What's the first thing you think of when you hear that title?
Well, Whitey Bulger.
Absolutely.
You know, he was topical at the time that it came out. And, you know, it coming out was right around the same time that they had a few like documentaries that came out about them.
Right.
And, you know, plus it was kind of, you know, it was kind of around that time that they were doing other kind of, you know, the Boston mob, you know, East Coast mob movies.
Right.
The Departed had come out, you know, a little bit before. And I remember this one coming out, and it was topical. And I remember Johnny Depp looking amazing. He looked like freaking Bulger.
Scariest. That's the... He's played a lot of not so good characters. This character literally scared me. Seeing those piercing blue eyes on Johnny Depp and the way that he carried himself was truly terrifying. He played the role to the hilt, you have to say. But yeah. When I heard that he was going to be playing Whitey Bulger, I'm like, wait, what? He's going to be playing an older, blue-eyed, Irish mobster.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no. You know, come on, Johnny. You usually pick your roles better than this. You know, not only is the physical description completely at odds with what we're used to seeing from Johnny, but the whole attitude is completely different. So... You know, I thought, no way. There's absolutely no way he can pull this off.
Right.
But he did. He did a damn good job. He was incredible in the movie. As a matter of fact, there was only one of Whitey Bulger's associates that complained about it. Only one.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there was only one. I'm trying to pull it up now. Sorry. I'm wrapped up in my cord here. Sorry about that. That would be... Kevin Weeks. Now, he was portrayed in the movie by Jesse Pimentz.
Okay, yeah.
Now, he said that the entire movie was, quote, a work of fiction. Johnny Depp's portrayal of Bulger, Rory Cochrane's portrayal of Stephen Fleming, and the portrayal of himself by Jesse Pimentz were way off. Mm-hmm. He also said that the film showed him participating in
crimes that he wasn't involved in.
That he was never involved in any of it.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sounds like a little bit of sour grapes, a little bit of protect your own ass to me.
Oh, sure. Of course.
All right, just off the top of your head, do you know if Whitey Bulger is still alive?
No, he died in 2018, he got killed in prison.
Yep, I was going to say.
And he wasn't there long. He was there for less than a day.
Less than a day, yep. And he was beaten to death by a couple of inmates, one with a padlock and a sock, and the other one with a homemade shiv.
With a shiv. That's right.
Now, why a padlock, though? Man, a bar of soap does just as well. Anyway. Now, this film actually this is just opening weekend. The opening weekend of the film grossed over $22 million.
Uh-huh.
One tenth of that came from the Boston area. So you're talking over $2 million.
Right. Over $2 million.
Oh yeah. Now Johnny does not do accents well. He's not one of those who can, you know, change his voice at will like Hiddleston does.
Uh-huh.
However, he creates he credits Joe Perry with his brilliant Boston accent.
Yep.
He said hanging out with Joe Perry is what allowed him to do the accent with as little difficulty as he did. Now. Oh, and as I said, this was the scariest I've ever seen Johnny Depp look.
He was very stern. He was very serious.
Oh, no, he was evil.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but the man was evil.
Most certainly.
I just... Never. I've seen Johnny play vampires. I've seen him play serial killers. I've seen him play multiple personality cases. I've seen him play absolutely insane characters. Never have I seen a character that scared me like this one did.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
just,
he got deep down for this. For
he
sure.
did. And this is his favorite role to date.
Yeah.
It certainly is. It is his favorite role to date. He says this is the one, and he actually broke his rule about not watching himself on the big screen for this movie.
Right.
Yep, the director, Joe...
asked him
what was his name? Scott Cooper. Noticed that he was about to slip out after, you know, when the credits started to roll and the movie started to open, and asked him to stay, and he did.
Yep.
So there's got to be a lot of mutual respect going on there between those two, because Depp simply does not do those types of things, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, they, just to make sure the film was true to form, producers and Scott Cooper hired several of Bulger's old associates as consultants for the film. Each one, all of them, at one point or another, watching Johnny Depp's performance, said, oh yeah, that's him. That's Whitey.
Yeah.
So yeah, they tried their best to make sure that it was as close to the truth as we can ever possibly know. Yeah, they really did try hard for that one. I remember the one scene where, the one of his associates, his stepdaughter, had been arrested for prostitution again. And they were picking her up at the police station. And she tells them that they'd asked her quite a few questions about Whitey and his activities. And, of course, this girl is absolutely clueless. Has no clue. Well, they go to one of these houses that they're building, and one thing leads to another, and he makes his associate kill his own stepdaughter.
Wow, right, wow, you know.
Now, whether it happened just that way or not, I'm not sure. However, they did tear the house down and found her in the foundations. Yep, she'd been missing for a number of years. And Depp, of course, as he does with all of his real-life roles, with any that are still alive, he does his best to try to speak with them. You know, feel them out, get their ideas. If there's something they really don't want shown, he tries to accommodate them. You know, he's very good at that. Well, he's tried several times to speak to Whitey James Bulger, and the man refused. He would sit in the same room and just stare at him.
Right.
Johnny said he just couldn't take it anymore. So, yeah, I mean, I can imagine Johnny Depp portraying Whitey Bulger was frightening enough. I don't think I could have handled meeting the real man. I just don't see it. What about you?
You know, he did some pretty vile stuff. And he really, really wanted to, you know, we've talked about it multiple times. He tried to talk to Whitey while he was, you know, making a film, and Whitey just fish-eyed stared back at him.
I don't know. You think you could handle meeting the real Whitey Bulger?
Me, personally, you know, in a prison setting, you know, I guess, I don't know, maybe, maybe not. I mean, when it comes down to it, he was kind of an old guy at that point. When you strip him of his power now, I'd hate for him to know my real name, you know, and him to get on a phone.
Yeah,
but, you know, Johnny Depp is a different sort of guy. So,
well, this is true.
You know, I mean, they're going to make a film out of you. And I want to almost think that, and I think that Bulger, towards the end of his life, you know, after he got caught, started understanding how much of a media circus this was and what media was. You know, he was a very adaptable creature. Whenever we watch Black Mass, a lot of times we're looking at Whitey Bulger and like the tight, still pretty goddamn blue Wrangler Lee jeans. And he's driving a 1976 AMC Javelin, you know, and that sort of thing. But by the time he had gotten caught and we were talking about him, it was the 20 teens, and he was really well aware of media and what was going on. Very adaptable creature.
Oh, yeah. Well, you had you would have to be doing what he did.
Yeah, and so now Johnny Depp wants to talk to me while I'm in prison would be different from, say, like some Boston reporter wants to ask me a couple of questions. You know, he would probably treat, you know, of course they're going to make a movie out of you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is the 21st century now, and so you just basically stare fish-eyed at the guy that played Edward Scissorhands.
Right.
No big deal. You know, he's a psychopath.
Yes.
So, you know, that's not a problem. But if it was just, you know, kind of somebody else, I'll bet it would be sort of a different experience. But I think that Johnny also kind of understood because he's sharp.
Right.
And I think that Johnny has a good deal of empathy and he kind of knew.
But as we have discussed before, Johnny also understands and recognizes those demons that most of us try to hide.
Yeah, sure.
Bulger just... He refused to hide his. He let them out to play and played with them.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, Johnny probably had a better understanding of Whitey than most people would.
Well, and I also think that he had a bit of a less fear of Whitey than most people because, A, John is just a goddamn man.
Right. He's Johnny Depp.
Okay, you know, but also, B, I think that he understood, just like Whitey understood, look, we're going to be making a movie out of you. Somebody's got to do it.
Right.
So it's going to be me. And Johnny was like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, Whitey, that's right. It's me.
Bulger
was also like, yep, well, you know what? They got a pretty decent actor. I really appreciate that. That being said, I'm still not giving an iota of attention to this.
Right. And now Johnny did say that he learned more about Whitey in those 15 minute half hour sessions of Whitey just staring at him. He learned a lot about the man.
Right.
So, you know.
I do think that Johnny would have been a hell of a therapist in another life. I really do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he certainly would. On a different note, not on a Black Mass note, but I was talking to my mother, and it occurred to me that Johnny Depp and Tom Hiddleston are two sides of the same coin.
Okay, explain.
Well, let's see. For instance, Tom Hiddleston, his parents divorced when he was like 14, same as Johnny Depp. Well, Hiddleston used acting to cope. Johnny Depp went the opposite direction. He did a lot of self-mutilation, cutting, things like that. And, you know, that's just one, for instance. They just seem to be very similar in the way they approach their acting. But as far as their personal beings, they are totally opposite. Hiddleston is very private. He prefers to keep his personal life, well, personal. Johnny's personal life is spread all over the pages of every freaking magazine that anybody can get a hold of. So it just struck me that they really are two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, that's actually a good thing. You know, but I don't know. It just struck me as appropriate that we did the podcast with the two of them as opposed to anything else.
You know, yeah, Johnny ended up at attempting anyway to go as deep as he could with the subject matter, and of course Whitey wasn't moving on it. And, okay, great.
Well, here's another.
I do.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I wonder, Tom, and he's really not necessarily had to, like, Tom hasn't done any, and of course I'm going to be wrong saying this because I'm not as aware of his filmography as you are, but actually, okay, so Tom was Hank Williams Sr., right?
Right.
Tom has done that one role. Johnny's done several real life figures.
Speaking of which, how many of America's Most Wanted do you think Johnny Depp has portrayed over the years?
Wow. What, gangsters?
Yes. America's Most Wanted.
I'm going to go with 3, maybe 4.
I was going to say 3 is very close. He has done 4. Those would be... He was... Joseph Pistone in Donnie Brasco.
Yeah, I know that he did A Public Enemies, that movie.
Public Enemies. He was John Dillinger. And he was George Jung in Blow.
Right.
All of them made America's Most Wanted. As a matter of fact, right before Whitey was captured, he was number 1, the top, on the America's Most Wanted list. Right after Osama bin Laden was killed.
Yeah.
He was number 2 after Osama. So, yeah, Johnny's played some, but most of his characters, like George Jung, he wasn't really a bad guy. He just kind of did what he did and got caught in some really awkward situations.
Yeah, Blow, actually, of all of those characters, I think, that was his most sympathetic of the real-life gangsters. That certainly not Whitey. Whitey, let's face it, that guy was a demon.
He was evil.
So, that's definitely his least sympathetic. But Blow, I was really,
I would have said Dillinger.
Close second. I don't know how much of that was romanticized.
Right, this is true. But John Dillinger was touted as being a real-life Robin Hood.
Yeah, well, and Bonnie and Clyde, on a related kind of note.
Right.
They were considered kind of like the tough, Romeo and Juliet, but... both Dillinger and Bonnie and Clyde, actually, guys, they did some fairly crappy stuff. Like, people died.
They really did. And there was, none of these people's hands are clean. They all did murder.
Right.
Some of them.
They all did murder.
Some of them, they thought they were doing it for the right reasons.
Right.
Some of them didn't care. But, as I've always said, take what you want and then pay for it. Each one of them did in their own way.
Yeah, but, in the film versions, Bonnie and Clyde, you've got Warren Beatty. And Public Enemies, you got John Dillinger. And gosh, he was just kind of a misunderstood, baby-faced,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He wasn't bad. He was just misunderstood. Same thing with George Jung. He was misunderstood. He brought 90% of the cocaine that ended up killing people into this country. So.
All right, okay, yep, all right, right. Yeah, that is the most... all right, good point.
Of course, I still absolutely love when he got caught trafficking marijuana. He tells the judge, he says, "But, Your Honor, really, what did I do? I carried a bunch of plants across an imaginary line."
Come
on. But it was very cool.
Yeah,
we do the whole degrees of separation thing between Depp and Hiddleston. There is one who is in this movie that I had forgotten he was in it. So when it popped up, I was like, oh, well, are you kidding me? Wait, what? Kevin Bacon is in this movie.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah, he plays the FBI agent that deals with Whitey. Because, you know, Whitey was an informant for a long time.
You're right, right.
Yep. So, but yeah, Kevin Bacon is, he actually doesn't play a real life character.
Yeah, he played a real life, you know.
He plays a composite of all of the different agents that dealt with Whitey over the years.
Right.
Oh, and the title, Black Mass. There are several...
Very significant with Catholics.
Oh, yes. And everyone portrayed in the film, just about everybody.
They're all Catholic.
As well as, it's also a play on the color-themed nickname of the character and a nod to the corruption of the city and state in which the story is set. Mass, short for Massachusetts. Black Mass. So yeah, there's the title itself, two words, have so many different meanings.
You know, I remember, I'm old enough, and you may be too. Actually, you probably are. When you'd abbreviate Massachusetts as Mass,
M-A-S-S,
Alabama,
yes,
we before, abbreviated as ALA, right?
Buff, and G, of course, Georgia hadn't changed, it's still GA.
Yeah, Mississippi, though, was Miss.
Yeah, used to be.
Yeah.
Used to be, yeah, before they came up with the two-letter abbreviations for each state. Yeah, Massachusetts was M-A-S-S.
Yeah, Tennessee was T-E-N-N.
Uh-huh. Yup. Kansas was K-A-N.
Yep.
But yeah, I've made the comment.
Black Mass, that's really cool.
Yep. I've made the comment that I use the word fuck as a comma sometimes. I have to be really careful. I don't think I've ever said it this many times in 2 hours, though. The word fuck in this movie, take a guess how many times it was used throughout this film.
200-something.
Oh, well, yeah, you got the 254 times.
Mm-hmm.
254 times. I don't think I've ever said it that many times in 2 hours.
Yeah. You'd have to go to Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. That would probably be, that'd probably get close anyway.
It'd probably be a tie. Yeah, I was about to say, kind of close. I'm not saying that Quentin Tarantino would win.
Right.
They said fuck a lot in this movie.
They did. Oh, and a couple of actresses who turned down the role of Lindsay.
I know that Jennifer Lawrence did.
Yep. There's a couple of others as well. One from our Marvel universe.
Don't know. Anne Hathaway did.
Yes. Scarlett Johansson.
Did she?
Yes, she did. Well, it doesn't say she turned it down. She was considered for the role.
Got you.
Margot Robbie turned down the role. So, and Margot Robbie is one of my all-time favorite actresses. She's amazing. She's incredible as Harley Quinn, but she is so good in anything she does. I would have loved to have seen her in this movie.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see. Tom Hardy was considered for one of the roles.
Yeah, but Joel took that role.
Yeah, Joel Edgerton. What, isn't he Australian?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought we had mentioned him in the Elizabeth Debicki podcast.
I love Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh my God, yes.
He was in the movie, and he talks about something happening on Baker Street, and that's cute since he's Holmes.
Right. Oh, and yeah. You know, he's also a full 8 inches taller than than the character he portrays.
Yeah. Cumberbatch is probably a full 8 inches taller than everyone.
Well, this is true. This is true. But yeah, William Bulger that he plays.
Huh?
Doesn't he play the role of William Bulger?
Yes. Okay. Right.
The actual William Bulger was called. Oh God, let me see if I can find it. It was. Sorry, I'm looking through my notes. You guys know how I am. He was called a gnome or an elf or something, if I can find it. Guy Pearce was originally cast as William Bulger, which I thought was kind of cool. Oh yeah, he was. Yeah. One of his critics labeled the true William Bulger a corrupt midget during a rant to the Senate.
Wow. A corrupt midget.
A corrupt midget. Oh. Oh, and here's another thing that's really interesting to me. You know, they do a lot of scenes in Miami Beach, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Those scenes were actually filmed on Revere Beach. In Revere, Massachusetts. It's just north of Boston. Well, they added palm trees. Real palm trees. They actually dug up real palm trees, brought them to Massachusetts, and planted them just to film these scenes. Dressed up a local pizzeria to look like a Cuban cafe. I mean, they went way out for these, you know, for these scenes. The original runtime for the film was also close to 3 hours. But because of various issues, they cut it down a bit.
That's too bad. I'd love to see that cut.
But yeah, we've started getting back to, because, you know, back in the day, 70s, 80s, a 3-hour film or a 4-hour film even was not that far out of line, was not that far off the, the norm. But, you know, here lately, well, starting about the mid-90s, 2 hours was about all you could expect if you got the full 2 hours. Sometimes it was only an hour and a half, hour 45. You know, you can't tell a decent story in that short amount of time. I'm sorry.
Agreed.
So
I do. And you know, and it seems like nowadays we're doing like, you know, the 4-hour miniseries, you know, or whatever to kind of compensate for that. And it's fine because movies have, I mean, they haven't fallen out of vogue or whatever, but we acknowledge now that if you want to do like a 4-hour movie, you can, and you can cut it up into 2 hours and you can watch it on TV.
Yep. Or
it's more convenient.
Or, you know. Hey, take that 6-hour, 8-hour movie, cut it up into several sections, release each one at about 2 years apart, and make 4 times what you would off the original.
Sure.
So.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And I know my kids, for one, my twins, everybody hears me talking about my twins, Mars and Faye, which came to see me this past week. It was great.
Nice.
Love seeing them, guys. Shout out to y'all. Y'all stay safe. Stay warm up there in Illinois. But, screen door? Yep.
That may need a little WD-40.
Yeah. I got some. You want to borrow it? Anyway. Yeah, they have even gotten to the point that, you know, nobody has time to go to a 3-4-5-hour movie at the theater anymore. Because you've got to get there early. You've got to go through the line to get the tickets. Then you've got to go through the line for the concessions. Then you have to fight with the crowds. you know, it's just not even worth it to have a movie that's that long anymore. People just don't have time for it. There's too much else going on.
Well, and let's face it, when you go through that long line at the concession, you're going to be paying $35, $40 meal prices.
Oh, right.
Just two people.
Just for, you know, a box of popcorn and a couple of drinks. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, that being said, I have literally gone onto my back porch and done a couple of prime ribs.
Exactly.
You know, and used my air fryer to, you know, do something better than popcorn.
That, or, you know, you got to throw you some popcorn in the microwave, hey.
Yeah, you know, or if you want to do popcorn, we have perfected the technology to where I am having, no kidding it, Jennifer, like, movie quality popcorn with my film, and it's going to cost me $5 for 2 servings or whatever.
Wow. Oh yeah, this project actually took a lot longer to hit the theaters than they expected. Johnny Depp left the film because of some salary related issues. Now he eventually did come back and finish the film, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah. When he left, the project was shelved. They, you know, they said, okay, you know, we've done too much, we've recorded too much, we cannot do this without him. So tucked it up on a shelf. And then when Depp finally agreed to come back to the movie, Joel Edgerton was unavailable. So eventually he came back as well, and they finally finished.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there was a lot of complications to this film. A lot of unexpected, you know, because it's Hollywood, you're going to expect the unexpected, but these are really unexpected events that, you know, just kind of, it was almost as if the movie was cursed, is what one of the production guys had said.
Yeah, it does seem like it was kind of a miracle that they finished it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah. Now, Mark Mahoney. Yeah, I don't know if you know the name.
I don't.
Okay. He was cast as Mickey Maloney on the strength of his performance in Blood Ties, which came out in 2013. Did not read or audition for the role. The executive producer, James Packer, this guy, Mark Mahoney, he's a Venice Beach tattoo artist, scenester. He owns the Shamrock Social Club.
Okay.
Said that, okay. Now, James Packer said that this man was audacious, to say the very least, requesting a very high salary for his minor role. So they're insisting that he take the role. He's insisting on a high salary. And the way that it played out, Scott Cooper finally agreed to the salary because, quote, the amount of money he demanded and the manner in which he demanded it was in some ways the best audition I've ever seen. It reminded me of why I wanted him for the part in the first place.
Right.
And during the, in his downtime, during the filming, he offered anyone on set, in the cast, in the crew, anyone who wanted it, he'd put a shamrock tattoo on them anywhere they wanted it for free.
Nice. Oh, shamrock tattoo.
Yep. Absolutely. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Because a lot of tattoo artists really do get some, I don't want to be rude about it, but they get their ass on their shoulders about, you know, doing free work.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you also get a lot of tattoo artists that get their ass on their shoulders saying that they're a celebrity.
This is true.
Like this guy.
Right.
Well, he was like, oh, anybody want to get a, you know, my name trademark shamrock tattoo on you? It's for free, you know.
Well, his big thing was the reason he demanded, one of the reasons he demanded such a high price was all the work he was going to be missing. He is a very,
sure,
very in-demand tattoo artist. And if you've ever had a tattoo, if you know anything about tattoos, then you know that the better the artist, the better the work, the more expensive it is. You know, you go to a tattoo artist who's been on, say, Inked, the TV show Inked.
Yeah, those guys.
Oh, right. Man. Yeah. You're going to be paying six prices just because it's them, just because it's this artist.
So, I am going to pay you a little extra money because you were in the same room as Dave Navarro, frankly.
Oh, honey, I would pay anybody in here.
Well, Ink Masters, sorry.
I would pay anybody extra money just because they've been in the same room with Dave Navarro.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. One of the tattoo artists, or one of the tattooees that they had on the show actually had a tattoo of Dave Navarro on the back of her calf.
Oh, God.
Oh, it was awesome. All right. It was awesome. Oh, please. She got him to sign it before she left. I thought that was cool because I'm going to do the same thing with my tattoos. If I ever get the chance, so.
Well, he's one of the greatest guitarists. So, just saying.
Well, yeah, agreed. Absolutely agreed. Let's see, where are we at now here? Hello. All right, 41 minutes. Cool beans. Some of the other notables in the cast here were, see, we talked about Joel Edgerton, Kevin Bacon, Peter Sarsgaard.
What's that, Peter who?
Sarsgaard.
Oh, yeah.
Not Skarsgård, but Sarsgaard.
Sars.
Yes, yeah. Sarsgaard. Dakota Johnson was in this.
Yep.
Corey
Pretty
Stoll.
Great.
Corey Stoll was in this. He's also one of the links in the degrees of separation between Hiddleston and Depp. Corey Stoll played in a lot of the English Broadway productions that Hiddleston has been.
A fair amount of non-Americans in this production, I've noticed, by the way. Just throwing that out there.
Well, the crew, the Winter Hill gang, was an Irish-American mob gang. That's who they represented. They did not represent the IRA. Now, don't confuse the two.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, do not confuse the two.
You and I are of a certain age also to where we're suddenly like, no.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to die, yeah, and neither do you, so let's not confuse the two.
No. Not IRA, no Irish Republic Army people.
No. Although,
anyway,
Bulger was associated with the IRA.
Yes.
But it wasn't.
Smuggling.
Yeah, and guns.
Yes. And well, it was the guns they were smuggling.
It was the guns more than it was the drugs or anything else.
What? No, well, there was a huge.
No, I meant the IRA, not Bulger himself. But yeah, it was the guns.
Right. Well, the time they call it the Troubles.
Right.
When you talk to the Irish people talking about, you know,
oh, yeah, the Troubles.
Essentially the Protestants and the Catholics and Ireland. And there was a massive smuggling and gun running ring.
Right.
That was out of the East Coast of America that for years was providing the IRA with guns.
With their weapons.
And weapons. And, you know, there was probably some drugs and whatever it took to make money.
Oh, speaking of which, you know, we're having a difficult time in this country anyway, and I'm sure in other countries as well, with meth. Well, meth was created, I believe it was during World War II, I want to say, by the Germans to reduce empathy and to keep their soldiers awake and alert much longer than they could without it.
So, right, it was a combat effectiveness drug.
Right, so of course, you know, we have the Germans to thank.
But
Whitey Bulger was associated with the IRA. He was not a part of it. He was just associated with them. But the Winter
I'm
Hill
sure
gang.
He met several guys.
Oh,
that
I'm sure.
Were involved in the 70s, 80s.
Yep, possibly even early 90s.
Yeah, and it was that time.
Yeah.
And Irish political history, unquestionably.
No, I just found out just here recently, I've got 40% Irish / Scottish heritage. So I'm doing a lot more. You know, I've always known I had Black Irish in me. But
well, your nickname is Black. I'm just saying. I like to call you Black because I know Black Irish. And we always kind of knew, and that's almost kind of another episode. That being said, do let me say on St. Patrick's Eve, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Not that we didn't already know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, my sister did one of the DNA tests and brought me the results. So what I want to know is, how did British, Scottish, Irish, Nordic, and Icelandic all get together? That's what I want to know.
It was during the times of the Vikings.
Absolutely. So I can claim Loki, honest and for true, I can claim Loki due to my heritage.
Right. They were the original combatants.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know? We were the fighters.
Yeah, before the Christians got involved.
Oh, even
that's
after.
That's where I'm going with that.
Oh, yeah, even after. But, yeah, definitely before. Definitely before.
And even after.
But, yeah. I know this this episode is running a bit short than what we usually do.
Yeah.
But, babe, I'm hearing some rumbles out in the lobby. So, yeah, it's probably about time for us to wrap this up.
Let's give the credentials.
Absolutely. Now, next week is a Hiddleston week. So I've picked, like, the topic for the last several podcasts. So Hiddleston week, what do you want to do?
So Hiddleston week, let's talk about... I'm going to throw this out there, and it could get shot down by the scenes, ladies and gentlemen, just because we're going to go. But I would love to explore Hiddleston doing historic roles.
Oh, now he does quite a few of those.
Okay, well, but I would like to go back in time and talk about Tom basically going back in time as an actor.
Right, Broken Crown is out. The Broken Crown is a great example.
Oh. I think it'd be a great subject.
I think it would too. I think we can definitely, I don't know that we will 100% bank on it, but I could say probably 99.9% we can bank on that for next week. And all of the chaos of my life should have settled by next week. So hopefully, hopefully it won't be all chaotic.
Okay.
But yeah, that sounds great. So credentials, we have... we received an email. We got an email. Just simply saying that they really enjoyed the show, and it was incredibly funny how we both try to keep the other one on track, but we can never stay there. But that was part of the, quote, charm of the show.
So, is this an American?
It was DebtLover86679.
All right. Well, you know what? Let it be said proudly. Thank you.
Absolutely. Definitely. Did not leave a phone number. Did not leave anything but that. And, of course, I've already sent a thank you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, y'all keep listening and send us those. Send us that information. Let us know what you want to hear about. Even if it's not strictly on the subject. You know, we've done 80s movies and music. We've done co-host or co-stars and that type of thing. So, guys, send us some ideas. You want to hear about something, let us know. We'll do everything we can to incorporate it.
Yeah. All the contact information?
Absolutely. We've got the dedicated phone line, which is 949-373-5476. That is our dedicated phone line. You can call us anytime, day or night. If we do not answer, leave us a message. We'll get back with you, I promise. Just let us know when to get back with you.
No problem.
Then we also have, of course, the email, which is debtheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. We have the blog, which apparently I need to start doing more on the blog because we haven't had a visitor there since, like, last year. So yeah, that's a bad thing. Bad Jennifer, bad host. So yeah, I'm definitely going to start doing more with the blog now that things have started to calm down in my, you know, in my personal life. Things have started to calm down. So I'll definitely be doing more with the blog.
Well, and you guys that hit PlayStation Network, look me up at Traveler2300. I'll certainly answer any messages and inquiries thrown towards that account.
There you go. And Carrie, you still have to put your information on the blog.
Yes.
Don't make me make a trip to Alabama just to tie you to a chair. And not in a good way.
So there's tied to the chair in the good way, and then there's tied to the chair in the whitey balls your way, lady.
There you go.
Okay, all right.
I don't know, maybe if I tied you to the chair in a good way, you'd actually do the information for the blog.
I would like to think so. Compared to the other way, for sure.
Well, I mean, it could threaten you with one and tempt you with the other, so.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I know this is short, and I do apologize. Next week, we'll make up for it. But stay safe, stay cool. Everybody have a great St. Patrick's Day. Do not drink and drive. Whatever you do, don't be stupid. Other than that, Carrie?
Yeah?
You gonna say bye? You usually do the final, we're saying goodbye. Say bye.
Yeah, but, you know, I was actually kind of thinking, because it is a St. Patrick's Day thing, almost like a haunting Whitey Bulger. How would Whitey Bulger say goodbye?
Uh-oh. Oh, no. The last thing you'd hear Whitey Bulger is click, click.
Yeah. Whitey Bulger would be like, I love that episode of Quantum Leap where, and then there's nothing because one of his associates or he has shot you in the back of the head.
Right, exactly. Or broken your neck, you know.
Right.
Anyway,
peace and love, everybody.
Love and peace, guys. Be safe.
Bye-bye.
Bye.